Regardless of location, everyone has the same basic end goal, and that's to be able to access the services and the treatments necessary to promote and maintain good health. And that's however you define it. So as a field, rural health aims to address the many ways in which rurality can complicate that goal. And many people might not realize it, but there are a lot of differences between healthcare for rural residents as opposed to those living in more urban areas. And there are three basic reasons for that. First, rural populations are different from non-rural populations. Secondly, rural cultures are different. And lastly, the rural geography is greatly different from urban geography. And by taking a closer look at each of those factors, we can get a better sense of what rural health actually is, why it exists, and why it should matter to everyone. We're going to talk about a couple of myths about rural America, and the first one is no one really lives there anymore. But according to the 2000 U.S. Census, 59 million people live in rural America, which is over 20% of the nation's population. And I apologize for not having an updated number, but a number that comprehensively accounts for the rural population in 2010 hasn't been released yet. So beyond viewing healthcare access for rural residents as a human rights issue, the vitality of rural America is essential to the vitality of the overall U.S. economy as well as national security. And rural America provides the context for major industries such as agriculture, energy production, and recreation. And healthcare is really a key piece of the infrastructure that needs to be in place to maintain rural populations and industry. It's also more efficient to provide basic healthcare to rural residents where they live. In fact, in most regions of the country, the average annual Medicare payments are actually lower for rural beneficiaries. So additionally, providing care near a patient's home reduces transportation costs and time that they have to be away from work. The second myth is that rural places are homogeneous. And contrary to popular belief, rural America is actually quite diverse, with representatives from every economic, racial, and ethnic group. More than 18% of rural residents identify with the minority racial group, totaling about 10.6 million people. Between 2000 and 2005, the rural Hispanic population increased by 18%, a trend which likely is continuing. According to the USDA, non-metro whites are on average 16 years older than non-metro Native Americans and 14 years older than non-metro Hispanics. So this age disparity places unique demands upon the rural healthcare systems. The elderly population needs long-term care facilities and a workforce trained to address the particular healthcare concerns accompanying aging. But as demographics in a particular area change, the existing providers in the systems are often unprepared to address the needs of minority populations, particularly in areas of cultural competency and language services. So there are marked differences between rural and urban populations, and a greater proportion of rural residents either have inadequate insurance coverage or are uninsured or might be covered through public sources than their non-rural counterparts. And rural Americans are also have higher poverty rates. Additionally, a higher percentage of rural residents work in statistically hazardous industries and positions. Agriculture and mining, for instance, are both industries which function primarily in rural areas and drive the rural economy, but they're also two of the most hazardous industries. Certain segments of the U.S. population also live primarily in rural areas, placing unique demands on rural healthcare systems. Migrant and seasonal farm workers face unique health challenges due to factors such as work environment, high levels of poverty, lack of insurance, and cultural and language barriers. And statistically speaking, Native American and Alaska Native populations exhibit some of the most dramatic health disparities of any group in the country, and tribal reservations are primarily located in rural areas. And while there are many myths about rural America, it is true that rural culture is different in many ways, and some of these differences make it difficult to ensure healthcare quality and access in rural areas. Most notably, rural communities tend to be closely knit, while also placing a strong value on self-reliance. In a healthcare context, these cultural factors complicate patient privacy and lead to high rates of perceived stigma with respect to some health concerns. Rural residents, for instance, seek help for mental health issues less often than their non-rural counterparts. And likewise, social stigma can prevent rural residents from seeking treatment for sexual health issues. Healthcare providers in rural areas must be particularly sensitive to patient privacy rules and concerns. In many cases, a single facility or physician may be the only option for a given resident. And the geography of rural America means that access to even the most essential services can be difficult. That 20% of the U.S. population that lives in rural areas is spread over 80% of the nation's landmass. Long distances, coupled with sometimes challenging terrain and weather conditions, as well as a lack of public transportation in rural areas, mean that transportation concerns take on added importance for rural populations, especially elderly residents and people without access to reliable vehicles. Many returning soldiers and veterans living in rural areas fail to get the help they need because the nearest Veterans Administration health facility is far away. In other cases, rural veterans may be unaware of the benefits, services, and facilities available to them, something that the VA Office of Rural Health is working hard on. Rural emergency medical systems face substantial challenges. With limited financial resources, few rural communities can afford to pay their EMS personnel and depend largely upon volunteers, who often also have full-time jobs within the community. In sparsely populated regions and the need to transfer patients to urban facilities for more acute care lead to longer average runs, which can place a significant burden on those volunteers. The end result of all of those underlying factors that I've discussed is that rural healthcare facilities are different by necessity. With smaller and more widespread population base, rural facilities have much lower volumes than their urban counterparts, causing obvious financial disadvantage, which makes upgrading facilities and implementing systems like electronic health records difficult. Additionally, the types of cases they see and the services they provide are different. As safety net providers for their communities, particular emphasis is placed on providing primary care, emergency services, and basic acute care. There are a few special designations for rural facilities that take into account their rural volumes and role as a safety net. Two of those are the critical access hospital designation and the rural health clinic designation, which allow facilities designated facilities in rural areas to receive differential reimbursement from Medicare. One of the key challenges for rural facilities is recruiting and retaining a qualified workforce. As the nation struggles with shortages of healthcare workers, those shortages are even worse in rural areas, and the great majority of health professional shortage areas are located in rural counties. Efforts to alleviate those shortages, both now and into the future, include things like loan repayment programs, special rural training tracks, and efforts to grow our own providers. So as you can see, providing healthcare services to rural America has many challenges, but it also has great rewards. Those services allowed millions of Americans to live in rural communities that are very special to them, as well as greatly important to the very fabric of our nation, both economically and socially.